This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Spoken Word on Joy, celebrating spoken word artists, poets, and creatives from Australia and abroad.
Good evening. Welcome to Spoken Word. This is James, and my fantastic guest this evening is Lucy Best, comedian, poet, activist, performer. Oh, there's so many strings to your bow.
Thank you.
And you're also from England.
Yes.
So we have a triple threat. So performer, an English person, and a comedian. So the only problem is it's always bad when you have a comedian on a radio show because they're always funnier than you are.
Aww.
Or more charismatic anyway.
So. We'll see. Thank you. Thank you for that accolade.
So, Lucy, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I'm English. I've lived here for 18 years. So I think I'm quite assimilated. And I am a writer, producer, performer. I do a bit of music, spoken word, acting, comedy. I have a solo show that I'm taking on tour this year and hopefully internationally next year. And I run a monthly cabaret night at the Motley Bauhaus, a queer cabaret night.
I have been hearing lots about this for a long time, and I'd never get a chance to come down because I'm usually working on other things, unfortunately. So I have to get down there.
Yeah, it's very fun. So we usually have one or two comedians, a drag act, maybe burlesque, a musical comedy or musical act. In fact, in March we've got a non-comedic musical act, Mr. Co, which is two men who got married last year and they wrote a song for their wedding.
Oh, wow.
And this has now launched their musical duet career together, which is really gorgeous.
That's really cute. That's really sweet, actually. I was just thinking, I can't remember a musical duet which has been two same-sex men.
Yeah, it's
together.
Pretty cute.
Often there's been one or two, like if there's a duet, often there's been one person who's been gay and like in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, or they're like a brother and sister or a straight person with a best friend, the gay best friend.
Yeah.
The straight person was probably bi.
Yeah, it was a different time.
It's a different time.
Although it was interesting, when I was doing my research for the What Women show I did last week, I came across something I completely forgot about, the medicalization of sexuality, which is very interesting because that's the first time labels appear in sexuality. Like, a lot of things were not spoken about or just ignored because it was people's private lives.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until like the 19th century where lots of homophobic stuff really starts kicking up notch again.
Yeah, everything got medicalized.
Mm. And a lot of that's because of the Industrial Revolution.
So yeah, it's, because everything was a machine and they wanted everybody to fit.
And everyone had to be a good worker so they could replenish the workforce when they die, so they had to have children and get married.
Yeah, and here we are living in the legacy.
Yeah.
And the education system is still very much a product of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Drives me crazy.
I reckon if they want to have a proper old-fashioned English education system like we have, we should go back and all learn rhetoric. At least we all get poets out of it.
Yeah. Not sure I agree with that one.
It's a joke.
And just before we continue, am I allowed to swear?
In context of a poem or
cool,
a
that's
joke,
what I'm
I can't, but
one
you
of,
can.
One of my poems.
Yeah, so
it's
in context. So if there's a song or if we play a song, there's a swear word in it, or if you perform a piece, that's okay. I just can't go around swearing. So
yeah,
which is, it's not a good look anyway. So.
No, that's right.
Yeah, great. So you talked about the queer cabaret. So you're a queer performer.
Yeah,
that's how you identify.
Yeah, so I'm bisexual, and I'm. I've always known, like I think I probably worked it out when I was in primary school, but I was married to a man for 17 years, so I didn't talk about it a lot. And then after I separated, I talked about it a lot. I mean, behind closed doors, we talked about it, but it just didn't come up a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of had to come out again. I did the whole thing that I think us bisexuals have to do pretty much every time you have a relationship.
Oh, definitely.
That's not the same with the person the same gender as the last person you had a relationship with.
I think I've got a note somewhere. I was always joking. I've got a little notepad. So I'm thinking now I've done that to them. Who have I come out to? That person, that person. It's like, God, I'm losing my mind.
My mum has this thing whenever I say I've met someone. She's like, is it a boy or a girl? I'm like, well, it could be something in between as well, actually.
Well, that's better than what my mother says whenever I meet someone. Usually they go, they're not married, are they? But you know my personal experience.
She's protective.
Yes, because I'm the youngest. So, but also, yeah, I'm the typical writer.
Yeah, true.
Typical bi writer. So,
got to have something to be tortured about. It's your muse.
Oh yeah, because it's so much fun. And does your identity, your orientation come out a lot in your work?
It certainly does. Yeah, I think it's really important. And even on that I didn't talk about it all that much for a while. And I mean, I did amongst my friends, but it's kind of like family and I guess publicly. And I've realized it's actually really important because if I'd had that modeled growing up, I kind of would have felt more comfortable and less confused and also less vulnerable to people who tried to erase my sexuality. Like I remember, I mean, obviously it was Pride March not long ago. I walked past here and waved at everyone. And when I remember my first Pride, I was 19 and I went with a bunch of friends who were lesbians and it was like they gave me permission. Mm. Like you're allowed to come even though you're not a proper lesbian. And I look back on that and go, that was really mean. It's not fair. I was a proper bisexual, but I kind of didn't have the words or the empowerment to go, but I'm valid, I'm queer, I'm part of this community, because at the time it was all about gays and lesbians. And now we have this, you know, we have the LGBTIQA plus because we like to be seen. We like to be out and proud.
I'm originally from Bendigo, as you know, and yes, bi erasure exists in the gay community in Bendigo. I know that very well. Well, used to it. It's probably a lot better. I think it's a lot better now because I know that we've had a few of the trans activists and a few of the bi activists on Joy and in part of Pride and Midsummer and things like that. So it's getting a lot better. But country towns were bad for that.
Yeah, just a bit behind the. Mm. The curve, I guess.
Oh, definitely. And it was always this old binary thing that you have to be one or the other.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think that was the thing with my family. It was always a lesbian phase I was going through. Mm. When I've dated a lesbian, they've tried to convince me that the patriarchy brainwashed me into thinking that I should sleep with men, and I didn't really have multi-gender attraction, and that was just as painful.
Wow, that comes from a lot of abuse, I think. That sort of mentality comes from a lot of being abused by the patriarchy, I think.
Yeah, and it's sort of like this mentality that I was sleeping with the enemy. It's like, well, hashtag not all men.
Something only a woman can get over using. That's funny, though, because I'm not going to say how old I am now because I feel so old.
I'm much older than you. It's okay.
Not that much older than me. And it's funny with gay and bi men, I've never really come across that problem as much. But we have a very different scene than the lesbian scene, I would imagine. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's still a lot of it is the clubbing and.
Yeah,
like
I do
that.
Have a gay male friend who thinks that the idea of sex between women is gross.
Sorry.
He doesn't like me to talk about it. Like, if I go, I've met this girl. No, don't tell me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cough laugh. That was actually funny. Yeah, I haven't come across that for a long time, actually. I know some older gay guys who are very much like that. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the internet in a lot of ways has paved the way for more acceptance. Also, not just with activism and being more seen, but I also think with art.
Yeah.
There's a lot of anime now, a lot of, not hentai, which is vile, but actually proper anime, Japanese animation and Korean animation. There's also a lot of same-sex characters, same-sex heroes and things like that, which is really good.
I think music as well. Mm. Like music gets in the mainstream and then someone goes, what's this song actually about? And then, it's about that. Like it's that thing of going, I relate to this. Oh, but it's a woman to a woman, or it's a woman talking about, I mean, that Missy Higgins song, Scar.
Yeah.
She talks about being with men and women. So many people didn't get that was like, I was like, oh, so she's bisexual. And loads of people were like, oh, do you think? I'm like, she sings about having a relationship with a man and having a relationship with a woman. I think that means she has relationships with men and women.
Yeah. I caught onto that song very quickly.
Yeah. And that was what, 20 years ago? Yeah. Like, people didn't realize. So it's that thing of getting something in the mainstream that kind of then the penny drops. Mm. Oh, okay. Or it's, a man singing about a love to a man or a woman singing about a love.
That's actually interesting too. You know that great song from the early 90s, Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover by Sophie B. Hawkins?
Yeah.
I had no idea that was a woman singing to another woman.
I think I did actually.
I was listening to it on the train on going to work because I listened to lots of fairly older stuff and I'm just kind of getting ready to go to work because I just don't want to have to deal with work, or the, you know, like most people. And I was on Spotify. They have the liner notes now. They have the lyrics and they have the stories behind the songs. And I was reading. I thought, oh yeah, that's so obvious.
The classic one. I think I was about 18 when Katie Lang hit the mainstream.
Yeah.
That was our, yeah, all our little sapphic pining.
Oh, but I love Katie Langner. Yeah. Constant Craving is an incredible song.
Oh, yeah, I loved it at the time.
Yeah, but her duets with Royal Wisdom are amazing as well, like Blue Bayou.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's one of the – I like that version better than the Linda Ronstadt version, actually. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Katie Lang has such a soul to her performance and her songs.
Yeah, very emotive.
But that's interesting, we're talking about Sapphic. Before, Sappho is probably the most one of the most important poets in history, and it's a woman.
Yeah.
And for want of a better term, she's queer, she's ancient Greek, so sexuality doesn't really matter.
True. They didn't have labels because people just accepted. Or it was just everyone just had sex with everybody.
Well, I study Greek philosophy and mythology, as you know, and the basis behind it was that you marry a woman – if you're a guy, because it's property and children, stuff like that, but you just have sex with whoever you wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the Socratic dialogues are usually in symposiums when they're talking about love, it's gay love. They're talking about this really hot guy who's not boy, guy. That whole platonic thing about men and boys is wrong. It's a modern misconstruction. It's also because it was usually about a 15-year-old with a 16- or 17-year-old learning how to be a man.
Yeah, and they all died at 35.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah. So, like, if you've ever seen The Villa of the Mysteries and this is bad, my classical studies have just gone out of my head. Vesuvius. What's that place called? Anyway.
Where the Oracle is.
Yeah, Mount Vesuvius. What's that place?
No, I don't know.
Pompeii. Uh-huh. That's really bad. My Greek philosophy teacher's rolling his grave now for not getting that straight away. And there's a panel, there's a fresco that goes around. It's called The Villa of the Mysteries, and it's about a young woman the week before her wedding. The women from both sides of the family are teaching her the ways of being a woman. And that is pretty steamy. There's like this stuff.
Excellent.
And the joke is that when the Christian explorers, the archaeologists in the 1700s found Pompeii, they pulled back all the rubble and they saw all this pornographic imagery. They go, well, this is why they got destroyed, because the god was very angry.
Yeah, there was one discovered quite recently, wasn't there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing that comes up in my work a lot is masturbation or self-love, if we want to give the clean version.
Well, we were talking about that last week, actually, because we had Body Electric, the Lana Del Rey song, and I performed the What Women poem badly. Because What Women poems are very hard to perform because they're very long.
Yeah.
And it's 19th century English, so it doesn't flow well.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.